Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Faith Podcast. Welcome to the Authentic Faith Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mariah McLeod. We got Brad Lawson here.
You can be the host.
We're both hosts.
You can be the host. Okay, well, I don't mind you being the host.
We're both, we're co-hosts. We have here today Brooke and Casey Corder.
Whoop, whoop. What's up, guys?
Family, friends, Into Trees Church, owners of Sun Dream, but also parents to amazing children, worshipers.
Community builders. Creatives.
Very aesthetically pleasing people. And their
entrepreneurs.
Dang.
Leaders. Visionaries.
Wow. Jeez, yeah. Keep it coming.
Missionaries.
Wow. Speaking it out.
And they ride on top. They walk on water like Jesus, or at least Casey does. He surfs.
Oh, yeah. I take it. Yeah, I do
and,
love
and
that.
And they do home design. They design our youth room. Like, just so much. They're just a gift.
Yeah.
All the things.
They're here today.
I was laughing at myself. I was thinking, some of you should hear what we talk about before we go on air.
Oh. Yeah,
I was thinking about, we were talking
the
about.
It's gotten
episodes.
Released before.
Two Trees did drugs.
We are all saved.
We're all saved. We're sitting here talking about our horror stories of our life before Christ. And and Casey and Brooke are probably just like, who are you two?
Uh-huh. That's funny.
I am not currently doing drugs.
No.
It is what it is. And I did not do, this is a different episode.
Anyway.
So, there we go.
We're flowing.
Yes.
What are we talking about today, Brad?
I felt like last week, because we had Brian and we had Matt on last week, and it was a really great conversation about creative life and business life and how to maintain your faith with all of it. I felt like it was a natural flow. I talked to Casey after, and Casey was actually supposed to be on that episode, but you were coming back from out of town and some other stuff. But anyways, we got into a thought flow into what it looks like not only to lead in faith and business and as a person, but also how to like not lose your soul within it all.
Yeah.
Because you can carry things, and if you're not careful, they begin to carry you away. Mm. Right. Like they actually
100%.
Like you in your pursuit of going after whatever it is that God's put in your life. Like for me, it's ministry, you know, no, pastors are notoriously spiritually unhealthy. Mm. I mean, it's almost like a thing now. It was like being a ministry is hard. Being a pastor, you're spiritually broken. I feel like I hear more war stories and see more scars about people in ministry than I do see people who are thriving in ministry. And it bothers me.
Yeah.
So as a pastor myself, I talk about it a lot, and we create space for it in our ministry. I actually care about spiritual health.
Yeah.
And for me, soul health, spiritual health, mental health, all that stuff is very, very important, because there's too many people that are doing the job, but they are ministering from a broken well.
Absolutely.
Right? And this also works with parenting or business or whatever it is. And so I asked Casey, we started to talk about stripping away the things that shouldn't be, and how to get back to, you know, what the important things are in life, and how not to get drawn away and going after all this stuff. Cause we're all, you know, everybody's trying to make money.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to raise a kid or start a business or do whatever, get a job, like advance. How do you not lose your soul within it all?
Mm.
And so it really big, really big discussion.
That's a really
big
one.
So,
we can go a bunch of different directions.
Let's maybe start like this. You lead a really rad coffee company, and you also host people, and you guys are so good at maintaining work, life, ministry balance. Like, talk to me a little bit about your value system with soul health and how you guys maintain it, because there's a lot of people who don't. Like, we walk in your house and we sense peace. We walk in your presence and we get peace. Like, how do you guys do it, and how do you create that?
That's good. I can take kind of start on it. The first thing that came to mind, I think, was kind of creating a, when talking about Sundream or when talking about business, is like creating a business or a brand that is also kind of already part of your lifestyle, your current lifestyle or your ideal lifestyle. So then the products, the brand, the content, all the stuff that's coming out that you're putting forth is things that you're already doing or already like going towards, versus creating a brand around something that maybe feels like a cool thing but also unachievable, and you're always like striving to get there, versus like, what if we created a business that we could surf on a random Tuesday at 11 a.m. and like actually enjoy that moment
so
of life,
cool.
Or something that involves, you know, our marriage, or something that involves being able to include our kids. And I think that not letting your vision be something that someone else puts on you, or something that you know, a product that you put out that someone might, well, we have a story with that too. Do you want to tell that story?
This is
like the one of the first things, like
just
one of the best examples. Go for it.
Before I get into that story, I was gonna say, like, along the same lines, is just when it's, there's one thing when you live for yourself, and there's another thing when you're following the Lord and his will for your life. And when you're doing things for the Lord and you're doing things for other people, it's, burdens aren't burdens. You know, they're opportunities to serve, and they're opportunities to connect. And you can always find, you know, maybe a complaint or a burden or something with like hosting or with serving or with, you know, that your time is crunched, your anything, really. But I feel like when you're serving the Lord, it's not about you. So it removes yourself from it. And there's, I don't know, more of a service heart.
And also, but, though, you guys are really good at not overwhelming yourself with pleasing people.
Right.
So you can only do what you can only do what you can do. So, yes, I fully align with that, because you practice that. Like, it is serving the Lord first. And so your house belongs to the Lord. Your business belongs to the Lord. Your Tuesday belongs to the Lord. So as much as you love to surf, like if we had a ministry thing, you'd say, and you felt led to be there, you'd say, I'm going to be there. You know, but being able to say no, like, it's a powerful thing. And what you were describing, what I heard was, you built your business based on the overflow of who you are.
Right.
Well, we had a mishap first.
So tell us about that. How'd you fail?
The learning curve.
Talk to us about your failure.
The learning curve this is getting...
For business.
This is getting likes, and this is getting purchases, but it's also creating a brand that we like can't sustain, or it's not who we are. So
that's so good. Tell us about
that. So we started a business, and it was our first business. It was actually before we even got engaged. We knew we were going to get married as soon as we met. So we had kind of started planning a life together before we were really married. And so we started this business, and we were selling blankets. We were living in San Diego, close to the border, and we were having, we found all these amazing Mexican blankets, and we're kind of marketing them to the world. And it started out in our lifestyle, just like beach blankets and different things. But Instagram had its way, and likes had its way, and followers had its way. And people were using our blankets up in the Pacific Northwest on the top of mountaintops, like very like 2013.
Yes.
You know, like mountaineering is cool. Camp
adventure
is
life.
And it was all beautiful and fun, but it wasn't who we were. It wasn't us. And we just kind of went with it, and we allowed people to take our brand. It seems like small. It's like a lifestyle. But we allowed people to take our brand elsewhere, because we were following what was generating sales, and we were following what was generating likes. And it was not sustainable, because we weren't able come up with that content. It fully... depended on those other people to buy our product and then take a picture of it far away from where we lived or we had access to. And it's like, I know,
so
minor
is that
things.
The tension? The tension was,
we weren't able to uphold our own brand. We depended on everyone else.
Oh my God.
You know our brand. We don't know
the conversation.
Yeah.
Totally. And then we're like, even the colors and all the things are like, we can't get that like deep, rich Pacific Northwest thing, but it's like, well, we're living here in Southern California, where it's like light, bright, airy, and, you know, beachy.
But
that's
it was
also
selling.
Desirable, but, it's,
no
but it wasn't what was trending or popular at the time.
So tell me about that time, and tell us about that time where you just decided this is not us, and it's gotten out of control. And although it is generating sales,
it was a striving to keep the cash flowing and everything, because we weren't able to serve what was so close to home. It was like we were fully dependent on what we had, this facade that we had created.
Oh my gosh, that's so
and
good.
Everyone else had to almost uphold our own business, and we weren't able to do anything.
Yeah, it took the power out of our own hands creatively too, because it's like, okay, well,
which is what we were good at.
Yeah. So then if we're like wanting to create this brand, then we're relying, also relying on our custom, like our ideal customer, which wasn't even that person, to then continue to carry the brand. So it's like, what did we create here? So it was wild.
No.
So what was the day like when you decided to change? Tell us about that for you too.
It was less of us deciding it was going to change, and it was us not being able to sustain it. And it was just a crash.
Yeah. That one crashed. That was our first business.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm glad that crashed. It was you though, like, think about your giftings you're not able to use them because it's like a machine doing something. Like, you're just like going with it, but you're not standing in who you are called to be. And what you are supposed to do is like, you can share more.
Yeah.
But
wow. Yeah.
I'm like,
but it's so close to ministry and like the church that you're building too. Yeah. It's like, we love how strong you are in standing about like not people pleasing. We're not a people pleasing church. It's just, this is the word of God. This is who Jesus is. Like, come if you want to hear.
You know why I talk about that so much is because I am a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And you got to convince yourself.
The reality is,
that's so good.
I don't want to lose this. I love it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and if I follow the voice of people, because when I say I'm a people pleaser, like, I'm not anymore. But what I do care about people's opinions. Mm-hmm. I care when someone leaves the church. I feel personally affected by that sometimes. Like, it really bothers me. And I think there's a tendency within us, when you lose a customer, you lose a person, to start saying, what can I do to get you back?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have to already determine within yourself, like, there's a line with that.
Mm-hmm.
I will do what I can to host people, serve people, get people connected. And if, like, when someone brings us active feedback that may be negative, right? I don't dismiss it. So when you say like, I'm very strong against people pleasing, I am. But what I practice is I say, is there truth in what they're saying? Yeah. Is there something that we can grow from in this loss or this failure or whatever? And I'll say, okay, so like they complain about something in the ministry. You go, well, is there truth to the complaint? Number one, ask that question. I have to. Mm-hmm. And Mariah knows this. She's experienced this. Some people will come and Mariah's like, forget it. And she comes out and she's like, oh, okay. No, we don't need them. And I'm like, slow down. Like, we have to ask the question, is there truth in what they're saying?
Right.
You know, because that's the responsible thing to do. Number one, because everybody should have a voice in your ministry, but not everybody's voice is created equal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, I would much more listen to you two than I would somebody who's constantly undermining or criticizing or whatever, or someone who I barely know. Like, I really trust the people close to me. Right. And you experience that, hopefully, that there's trust here, you know, that if you say something, I value your feedback.
Totally different.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very, very different, but, there's a line.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if like you come to somebody, you say, hey, what's your idea on this creative project or this Sundream project, whatever, you could take their input, but you have to be pouring from within your own identity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't live someone else's life.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what weight do you put on the words of, you know, the people around you? Like, if, you said, you know, like if you're giving me advice versus someone random who's like, you know.
And you've given me permission sometimes. You say,
right,
like,
I know. I'm like, you don't have to sugarcoat it.
It took a long time.
Give me the truth without grace. I don't need the grace. Just give me the truth.
Over the last year or so, like, since we've been growing closer, like, there's times where Casey and I would be talking about problems, and I'll say, well, you know, I won't speak into your stuff unless you ask me to. Like, I'm not going to say much.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want the hard truth. I want to know what you think. And I say, okay, here we go.
Let's go.
That's the thing too, finding people that are in your circle that you can trust to share your dreams with. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before, and not just sharing with everybody, because it's like, it might not come to birth, you know, like to come out, but it's like, I need to talk safely with people about this, the right people. And
Well, yeah. I think, like, especially you have to be careful who you open up to, because mm-hmm. your heart towards certain people, and maybe not the healthiest people, can be softened, whether that's family or old friends. And the seeds that they put out and the seeds that they say could be good criticism, but it could be negative. And you could really, like, plant that just because you have mm-hmm. a need to serve that person. Like, I'm thinking, that, like, parents or, wow. like, you know, that's a huge. Close friend. Like, I want to please you, like, mom, dad, best friend oh, from especially. Another life, whatever mm-hmm. it is, you know, like.
And you love them.
Yeah.
You love yeah. them. It's like, I want to please you just because I love the relationship.
Yeah. yeah.
And I don't like conflict in relationships.
Right.
I hate conflict in relationships.
Yeah.
That's in our church. There's very little tension mm-hmm. because I hate it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I address things super quick. If there's an issue, I'll say it.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to please them, but more than anything, you love them.
Yeah.
So how did you transition? How long did it take you to start dreaming more, dreaming again, and going towards Sun Dream? Or, like, was it just a season of waiting or a desert season? Or was there, like,
there was a lot excitement? Of walks around the block.
We literally walked. We probably walked, like, the equivalent of, like, around the world in our old neighborhood. We lived in this condo complex, and, like, it was literally just a lap around all the buildings. And, like, when we just needed to, whether it was praying or frustration or
we just walked
trying to figure out what our life was going to be, we literally were like, we had a couple big wins from that, like, first company as well, so we were able to, like, I don't know, there might have been like 6 months of cushion where we were like, let's just figure out what the next step is. So we just walked. We walked in circles. We walked, literally walked in circles.
Yeah.
And it felt like we were walking. It felt like we were walking in circles,
like, Jericho.
Too.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
a Jericho season for yeah. sure. And I think Sundry?
I love yeah. this. I love this so much. Let me comment on this, because yeah. you didn't go get consultants.
No.
You got a loan.
Yeah.
You reduced it all. You stripped away mm-hmm. everything. You said, let's just go on a walk together.
Yeah.
Keep mm-hmm. going. That's so beautiful, because yeah. most people would go, like, give me a business consultant. Yeah. Let me go steal from this thing, steal from that thing. You guys unified, went together. Yeah. You reduced
well,
it all.
Well, I don't know yeah. that we really had, like, wise counsel in our life, whereas I wish we did. I wish we actually did have someone to go to, but I think it's actually really helped us rely on each other, not in a negative, like, isolating way, but just in business, like, trusting each other mm-hmm. and knowing that, like, we're both consulting the Lord, and
yeah,
when
so
we
good.
Speak with each other, that there's, like, counsel in each other.
Sorry, too. I didn't mean to cut you off.
But no,
it
you're
was
good.
Just because there was
good.
Something there. Yeah, that yeah. walking yeah. alone together is so powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was without struggle. I mean, there's definitely, like, the need to rush and hurry mm-hmm. and be like, okay, like, how can I make a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow, because I could take that and invest it and whatever. It's like, I feel like there was a little bit of, like, that jonesing to be like, what's the next product? What's the next brand? What can we, like, create? And then mm-hmm. it wasn't until, like, true inspiration that we really decided, really, we just kept walking in circles. So, yeah, back to the walking in circles.
I mean, it felt like sometimes it was deja vu. We were like, here we are again.
Yeah.
Like, Lord, we're waiting for a vision. We're waiting for something. And it just keep going, just yeah. keep going. And it was kind of crazy. And then actually someone spoke into your life. And I remember a conversation that you had with someone. You came home. You're like, I just had the most amazing conversation with this guy. And I asked him, how do you find vision? Like, I feel like I'm stuck right now.
Yeah.
How do you pursue a God-given vision when you don't feel like he's speaking to you? And he told you, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. he told you that it's what other godly people speak over you and your giftings that you should start pursuing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of unravels from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started diving,
like, going back into, like, what yeah. are, what are, like, people that we trust, and what do they say that we're
remembering,
like,
they, about
what
us.
Do they call out, what do they, like,
yeah,
yeah,
it's all about those prophetic words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even just little compliments, like, mm-hmm. or little things about your character.
We're looking for
church.
Something, like, trying to hold on
yeah.
to something.
Oh,
we're
I'm
like,
good
what's
that?
Something
Maybe
that, like, what did they compliment on us about this last week? Like,
well,
should we go
just,
into, you know.
Just yeah. to speak into this, too, like, because you are an entrepreneur. You do make money in many different forms. Like, you have multiple streams of revenue, mm-hmm. but you do have Sun Dream as a lifestyle.
Right.
And it's more than just a brand. It's who you are. It's an overflow of your life. And you guys have been very intentional on that. But some people, they want to start a business. They get into it and they go, I want to start a business. So they start a business, but it's not who they are. And mm-hmm. so they don't have the staying power to maintain it because it's not an overflow of their life. So you guys knew inherently it could not just be a business.
Yeah.
It had to be a vision. That's big.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. Also, I'm just like, duh, we've just talked about it, but you were doing something that your identity wasn't in before, and you were being something for other people and what they needed. And now he has you walking around and like, who are we? Mm-hmm. Who are we called to be, and what? Who we call it? Like, who are we?
It's confusing.
It's your identity, though. Yeah. And he's. Wow. It was like that bummer crash thing brought you into.
So good.
But this is who we are, mm-hmm. and like that walking around, like who am I?
That's killer. It's and that's so like good. Even with us, dang, what you spoke of me with the church, like it is pouring from my identity. I cannot be someone else. Like there came a point where everybody's wanting you to be the next VU church or next whatever church or next Bethel or next whatever. And it's like, I'm so bored with that conversation. Yeah. I just cannot keep up with that. Like, we don't have the technology to be that church right now. So guess what? We're not going to be that church right now. We're going to be who we are.
Yeah.
And
but it's
and I'm
it's,
not going to stress myself out to become that.
Right. Yeah. But you like, there might be a five-step way to grow a church, or a, like there might be an actual path to be like, oh, if we did this, we sang these songs, if we did this, if I preached on this, then we could be that.
Is it us though?
But do you like, that's
it
not worth
the authenticity.
It takes a while.
And it wasn't until like, so your walk around the block that happened with you guys, that happened with us in COVID.
Where we
tried really hard to build this church with the growth packets and all this stuff and everybody that was speaking over us. And then the rug gets pulled out of your ministry and it's just like, you and Jesus and the scriptures. And you're saying, okay, we can't do handout cards. We can't do follow-up. We don't know who's at church. We can't even pressure people to be at church.
Yeah.
We were one of the only churches in the city open, you know, and everybody had left. There were like 25 people on the beach worshiping in the sand. So and we had to just determine within ourselves who we're going to be.
Yeah.
And that was our walk around the block where it's we said, that's it. I'm not going to chase people down. This is who we are. This is what we are. We're going to go after Jesus and Jesus alone. And then we're going to present something real. That's it. That's the vision and the mission statement.
How
that's
crazy is that though? Because like government and just, not just politics, but just people and pressure, like wanting you to be a different type of church and wanting you to conform to their beliefs. And it's like this pull. And sometimes it can be really negative, but sometimes it can be like in business, like with money and opportunity, it can be very alluring. And you can really easily get distracted and pulled into that, even if it comes from a pure heart. But knowing that like this is where I stand and I stand with Christ, and it doesn't have to be you know, seeker friendly, and I don't have to please everybody, but knowing that like the word of the Lord is going to like touch their heart. And so let's just stand on that.
I've actually said no to relationships where they were offering $50,000, $100,000, like to have a seat at the table or to be under their denomination or to be partner with them. And I've looked at them and said, no, it's just not what we're doing.
That's the thing too. Not compromise. Yeah. To the vision of what
but
you,
in the, but that doesn't mean that I don't value the money.
Of course.
Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like,
no, but like, that's the wrong, if it's the wrong thing for you.
When
like, here's a collaboration product and we can do this. And then all of a sudden we're like, who are we again?
I cannot. So that's good. Two things. So first, what you start, you have to sustain. That's what you guys experienced. And so if the Spirit doesn't start it, then I've started it in the flesh, and then you have to maintain it by the flesh. That's exhausting. That's exhausting. So, but there's this temptation all the time to get there quicker. Because society's saying quicker, quicker, quicker. Right? So what started in the flesh has to be sustained in the flesh. What started in the Spirit is sustained in the Spirit. But whenever I work with nonprofit leaders, we do a lot of work with nonprofit organizational leaders. I brought in a ministry called Mission Increase, and we have they're kind of under our umbrella. They are under our umbrella, but they work with faith-based nonprofit leaders on fundraising strategies, really biblical-based, discipleship-focused, relational leverage techniques, and how to like actually cast a vision and empower people to go after the vision, right? But what I teach the nonprofit leaders that I'm connected to is there's three ways to move a ministry forward, and I think it applies to business too. One, prayer. Two, leadership. And under leadership, you have marketing, you have vision, you have culture, you have cultivating belonging and buying people in, you have all of it. Leadership covers all things.
Yeah.
So there's prayer, there's leadership, then there's finances.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like you need, like, so when somebody brings me a vision and there's money behind it, you've already got, you know, sometimes the hardest thing to figure out is there, because I can bring the leadership and we all know how to pray.
Yeah.
You know, so, so like the money piece though, like when you don't have it, it'll cause you to go and search for it.
Yes. Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. And the Bible says, I wrote this down, and we don't always bring Bible scriptures, but I'm bringing one today. Matthew 16:26, it says, "For what will it profit a person if they gain the world and lose their soul?" What will you exchange for your soul?
Wow.
Like, that's the thing. It's not that we don't need this stuff or value this stuff. Right. It's what will we give to get it?
Yeah.
And
it may start small.
Yeah.
But it's like it gets deeper and deeper, and it sometimes it takes you being, you know, head deep to realize and turn around and be like, oh my gosh, it was a series of baby sacrifices or that, you know, that makes you get there. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, how did I even get here?
Whoa, yeah.
I think the biggest like temptation kind of back to it is just like to get things done quickly. And I think that like we're going into a season, especially after like reading that book, is like just going back to a slower approach, like slowing down. That's like the season that we're going into, and like in just the way of,
that was perfect timing, the book on hurry,
the book on hurry and just I don't know, growing slow and sustainable, and not feeling like we need to arrive at this place.
So then tell more. How did your story? So I'm just curious. Like, so what? How did you know? Like, yes, this is the time. This is what we want to do. Just keep. Like, was it confirmation? Did you just take a step out in faith?
We wanted to bottle up a feeling.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was like,
you're doing a great job. That's,
we wanted amazing. Like, we literally wanted to bottle up a feeling of. Brooke and I were in Hawaii, and one of our favorite things to do is just like wake up early, make coffee, go to the beach, feet in the sand, like really serene, beautiful morning. And then in those moments is when you're like, you know, you're feeling inspired, and you're like, wow, I feel like I could take on the world right now, because I'm like such in a good, good
bottle
head.
Up a feeling.
How do you bottle up a feeling?
Whoa.
You're doing it. I'll tell you.
So then it was like, how do we bottle up this like,
right now, I don't know why I just saw like Budweiser taking your slogan.
Bottle up a feeling.
Someone just took your slogan. I don't know.
Like, and this is the pure one, though.
So right now, I just have to tell you, if you steal that, you better pay him.
There you go.
There you go.
So, yeah, that was.
Wow, that was.
I mean,
a
it was
strong
like it's
statement.
A moment that's like true to our heart, and it's something that when we close our eyes, like we can really feel, and there are like really special slow moments that we've had together as a family and are able to kind of receive from Jesus and have those like quiet moments
those
with him in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, how do we help other people experience that? How can we bring people into these moments that are so refreshing and so beautiful to us and share that with the world? And I mean, it gets a little, it's hard sometimes when, you know, it's like you have a thought in your head or a feeling in your heart. It's like expressing that, words don't always line up. So it's been a journey for sure. But that's the kind of our vision and our goal.
Wow.
So the name Sundream?
Sundream.
Just dreaming under just the sun.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
I love that you're here with it too in Ventura.
Yeah, Sundream.
The best.
This is the Sundream land.
I know. When you guys, so it's the, you, launched a retail store, and you said it's the land of good fortune.
Mm-hmm. That's San Buenaventura. Yeah, the translation.
It's beautiful the way that you guys come in, and it was like, so I don't know where this applies. I think it applies for me, like with dating sometimes for young people or whatever, like people who are single or whatever. But like, if you give flowers to the wrong person, you know, it'll actually produce really bad results. Like you give flowers to somebody who's not into you, they'll reject you, and it's heartbreaking.
Whoa.
You know, but then you give flowers to the right person, and it's on your way to the wedding chapel, right? It's the way I feel with your business. I feel like it was made for Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you dreamed it, wherever you were living, It was actually not created for there. It was created for here.
Yeah. Yeah,
when you came in, it was because when I met you guys, to me, it seemed like you were born, birthed, and raised in Ventura County. And I was thinking, this is your city. Yeah. Like, I'm just buying in on what you have, and you embody it so well, mm-hmm. you know, the value system of the city. And because this is a very casual, and it is uplifting, like this city, like
a community city,
very community. Very There's much, a lot yeah. here, but you guys, when you embody it, I was thinking, your business was made for this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're made for this.
Bringing
city.
People together, creating a safe space. Every time someone walked in to send the retail store, they were always like, cause I used to work there. Oh my gosh, it was such a peaceful place. They would say, oh, it just feels so good in here. Hmm. So you said bottle up a feeling. Right? Yes. I was like, oh yeah, everyone, no matter who they were, would say, it feels good in here. Yeah. I'm like, yes, it does. Yeah. And it's like the things that you intentionally sell aren't, they're like intentional. I feel like you're so intentional with what you buy and sell and create, and it just feels so good. And people, it's not that they just want to consume, but I feel like they want to be a part of the community, like
yeah.
come in
it, yeah.
and experience something.
Yeah, and people don't realize this, but because you guys obviously are very involved with community building and core groups in our ministry, and mm-hmm. you're known for that in our ministry, like hosting people, but you're also the creative leads in our ministry. When I need a creative project done, and we're very slow on that, kind of like you guys, like we're very... mm-hmm. We move way slower than the average church. Like, I would rather do something raw and unedited for 6 months than force ourselves to create something that we can't sustain.
Yeah.
So
that's like the common theme. I mean, because there's always the like, let's jump, let's do it. We just had a sweet idea.
Yeah.
Like, let's run it. Let's put
it
in production yesterday.
You know? Of like, should we do this or should we not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like, why is there pressure, right? Like, mm-hmm. wait a second. Like, right? Like, you guys were like, we're going to have a decision making right here. So close. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's
you're really good. Like, so creatively, you're able to see someone else's vision now. And you see our vision. Like, you walk into our church and there's things you see that I haven't communicated that you pull out of me. I'm going, you got it. I don't know how you saw that. So I remember the first time you came in, you're like, you know what I loved about your ministry is that you don't have a pastor's voice.
I remember saying that.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's true. I was just
like
you don't
sit up
there.
A lot of pastors, like, man, it's going to sound bad, but this is a podcast, so whatever. I'm sorry. I get on some Instagrams, and it's like, hey, guys. Hey, guys. Church, this it's like everybody has a salesman's voice.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it is a sale. What are you trying to sell? Right.
Nuts. I can't handle it.
There's a pause so many pauses in the pastor's
voice.
Well,
you don't need to sell something. Another thing that you were like, what's our marketing strategy for Easter? Well, Jesus is risen. There you go.
Yeah.
Miracles were the marketing strategy in the early church.
Yes.
Yeah. He's rose from the dead. He's appearing to people.
Yeah.
Things are happening. Yeah.
There we go.
If that's not enough, I can't give you anything else. I can't do enough of a voice
to make you, you know, believe it more.
What's interesting is you actually saw it's an intentional thing.
Yeah.
That's part of that reduction process, which I just heard Bill Johnson talk about this on Sunday, actually, too. But he said it's like balsamic vinegar. It's strong because it's been reduced. We think that by doing all this stuff that we're getting stronger, more influence, but it's actually watering it down. This is what I took from it.
Yeah.
And it's the reduction.
That's so good.
When you reduce it to the main thing,
it's the core
of what it is. Yeah. But why do I not talk with the pastor's voice? Because it's been very important to me to be the same person at this table as I am in your coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
Same person I am at your coffee table to be on that stage.
Yeah.
Same person I am on that stage to be the same person I am on the streets. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important to me not to become someone like a chameleon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for me in the don't gain the world and lose your soul. I see that as don't try to become everything for everybody. I know that's anti-Apostle Paul's teaching because he said you have to become all things to all people to win all people.
Sure.
But I think it has more to do with like
be yourself,
meeting them where they're at.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone's, I try not to disassociate because people are different.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have friends that are in different tribes. In our church, there's subcultures within the culture, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah.
And learning to work within all those, that's what he's talking about. But mm-hmm. I will not try to sell my soul or lose mm-hmm. my soul or change who I am to reach anyone.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, I would rather not be a pastor than try to become a career pastor who's doing things for my paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
That's good in business too.
Yeah.
I feel like, relatable. I'm trying to make a point. But I feel like the same way that you kind of tuck away on a, you know, a Sunday morning, it's like, there's a lot of those, there's like hours of quiet. And then like, we're all ears when it's like, okay, what is like, what's coming from that versus like the same thing. We went around in a circle for 6 months and then we finally were like, we're going to do this versus like us trying to put out something every week until, and then it's like, well, now no one even cares because we're constantly just doing something for the sake of doing it versus like earning the right to be heard.
Like, you as a leader, like, we trust you. We trust mm-hmm. that you're spiritually healthy because of the way that you live your life. And mm-hmm. because of the way you tuck away, it's like, you know, that's not a concern. Like we were kind of talking about in the beginning and like modern church, unfortunately, that when you are this career pastor and you put yourself out there to be everything for everyone and it sucks up your family time and your spiritual life, like, that makes me nervous as a person attending church. Like mm-hmm. I want to be able to like trust my pastor completely, and like, we totally trust you because of the way that you live your life.
Thank you for that. No, and same with you guys too. Like, I'm very relational. I don't get a lot of time with people as much time as I'd want with every person in the church, right? Mm-hmm. But like, when I connect with a family or a person, like, I'm in with those people. Like, mm-hmm. we're in. I mean, you guys, like, I fully trust you. It was from the moment you walked in, you know, with the dailies and with the whole other crew that mm-hmm. were coming. It's like, oh, these guys, it's like they were born not only for the city, but they're born for this church. Mm-hmm. Like, this is them.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to hear your testimony about, now digressing the church stuff a little bit, like, where you're like trying to present yourself to different churches, you're like, this just isn't us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're here offering ourselves. It's just not connecting and wrestling with that until you get to a place where you're like, oh, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a question. Do you guys feel, this could be a no, I don't know, but I feel like, do you feel like you're thriving in this season of whatever you're in right now and where you're going?
Thriving.
I feel like,
what's it like with your
soul
health?
There's a yes and a no to that. I feel like we're in the right place right now, and I feel like we're always growing and we're always eager to grow and we want more and we want, you know, I've told like girls this in Bible study before. It was a really wise word from a pastor back in the day, but he said there's no such thing as balance. And when you strive, or when you try to achieve balance, you strive because it's not going to be equal, but it's about the ebb and flow of life and seasons.
I hope people are hearing this.
This actually helps, because when you're trying to balance, I'll let you finish, but when you're trying to be like, oh, I spent 1 hour with my kid and I went 1 hour on my email marketing and it's like,
right.
There's like seasons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's absolutely seasons. And it's to be in the ebb and flow of life. It's like, my kids are going to demand my attention more in one season than another. Right. And work might demand more of my attention in one season than another. But when you're constantly trying to put everyone or everything on an even playing field, it's actually not about equality. It's like, it's the intentionality behind both so there's no such thing as balance. Just be good in your season and understand the back and forth and like,
accept
what
the season you're in, right?
Absolutely and just be present in as many places as possible.
I think we were talking about right before this,
that's the clip, Matt.
I think we were like, there is more. Were we talking about that?
Yeah.
There's more. There's always more. Like, I feel like that's my word. I wrote it on a whiteboard in our kitchen.
That's literally like the word over our church as of Sunday.
More.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just feel there's always, for those who are hungry, there is more.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are thirsty, there is more. Yeah. And if you settle with stingy or like holding in, striving for like, this is my, I'm gonna keep this right here, then you're missing out, because there's always more. And it's not like greediness, there's more. It's like, no, God has more for us, and it's in him to go deeper and to grow, and like, oh, there's more.
Well, there's
more,
a difference between comfort and like complacency.
Yes.
Like, you know, like you can be comfortable and good where you're at, but when you're complacent, it means you're not, you know, striving to grow or trying to grow.
Like, so good.
Be comfortable and be good where you're at. Be present.
Like a healthy
and,
contentment.
Yeah, but don't be like, this is it. Like, this is all.
So what's
you know?
The balance is, Jesus said, follow me. Mm-hmm. So there's a disconnecting from where you're at and a following into where you're going to be, but it's with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like I talked about Sunday, it's with the presence of Jesus. Like Moses said, I don't want to go forward without you.
Yeah.
Like, so when you go forward, I'll go forward. It's in step. That's how you walk with the Spirit.
Yeah.
I had a crazy moment in Hawaii that you just basically just like introduced. I don't think I've even gotten to talk to you about
Let's go.
Let's go. Breaking news for the family right now.
It was so crazy. I feel like I had this. I mean, it was a pretty simple revelation, but I feel like it really like sunk in.
Mm.
And our life verse has always been Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and the light to my steps. And we always say, all we need is a lamp. Like the diameter or the radius of a lamp light is small. It's just one step at a time. It's not, you know, a floodlight to the end of the tunnel or the finish line.
Wow.
And we were driving on this road back to our house in Hawaii, and it was the nighttime drive, and we had an hour in complete darkness. Like,
no,
it was a one-lane road in the country.
No street lights.
Nothing. There was nothing. It was so dark. You look out the window, and there's stars everywhere. It was amazing, but it was like black. And there was these reflectors on the road. It almost looked like a video game. It was like Pac-Man.
We're driving
you have to drive super slow. Yeah.
And it was all windy and crazy. There's like a cliff on one side, right?
Gosh,
like it's crazy. So it's all windy, but there's these reflectors. But because it's so windy, you can only see so far.
And the reflection only hits, and you can only see the reflector when the light hits it.
When the light hits it. So we were like following these little like beep, 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 like
I'm
lights that were coming up. And they're like, this is like pretty intense, but we had our flow and we were going. And my initial thought was like, oh my gosh, this is a beautiful illustration of that life verse. You know, like this is the radius of the lamp, but just like one turn at a time, like one step at a time. And then my head started going, oh my gosh, if these reflectors weren't here, we would literally be driving in the dark. Like, I don't know how long it would take us to get back to this house. Like, it would take us forever because we'd be going so slow and we'd get lost. And then my head immediately went to the Israelites that were, you know, the 11-day journey that took 40 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like, when you put that, his word is the lamp to your feet, it's like, if we didn't have those reflectors and if you're not inviting Jesus into your vision every single step of the way, it's so easy to just get lost
in that winding road. I have something to go like a maybe one step further of the revelation is, it was almost actually from a driving standpoint, it was actually easier to drive, and you could drive really fast, like we were cruising.
Yeah.
But there also weren't all the other distractions lit up. Like, I wasn't like, whoa, there's a really cool view over there. Oh, I should go that way, or we should stop there. There's a big billboard on the side of the road or something. It
That's
was literally
crazy.
Just like, oh, I can
so
just drive
good.
Right here.
Oh,
it was just that light
in
right in front of you. You were like following it.
I was thinking the reflections. Crazy. Those reflections are like the daily testimonies and the daily, you know, whether they're breakthroughs in the vision or words that you're getting from the Lord or just moments of peace or people of peace.
So you're going the right way.
You're like, oh, I'm actually going the right way.
Yeah.
And that's what those reflectors are.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
So good.
So,
okay, I'm good for the month.
I know.
Oh, okay.
So what, right now, cause we're going to land the plane. If somebody's out there right now and they're trying to figure out what God wants to do in their life, their business, you know, it's a mom, it's a dad, it's a young person, it's someone going to college trying to figure it out, someone who's trying mission trips and trying ministries and all this stuff trying to figure it out, what would you speak to them right now on how to not lose themselves in the process, and how should they find their identity?
For me, it's like just diving deeper into the Lord and serving as he reveals himself to you, he reveals more of yourself to you, you know, and you get to know yourself better.
Mm.
And
there's
just,
a lot there. That is a mouthful.
Just like pursue him and See what he says about you, not what everyone else, like, all the time. And seek wise counsel. Make sure that the people around you are, you know, lifting you up. Or if it is, like, a criticism or correction, make sure it's, you know, rooted in kindness and the word. And I think surrounding yourself with good community is, like, the best way to start.
That's so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just getting alone and having, even if it was, like, a week or a month of just, like, really deep dive into the Lord and into your identity versus, you know, literal years of striving. Like, I remember the first example that I really saw this was a college roommate at the time, and he was deciding whether to go. We had just graduated with our bachelor's degrees, and he didn't even tell me. He was like, "Hey, I think I'm going to go to dental school." And I was like, "I just graduated. I'm done with school forever. This is amazing." And then, but he's like, "I think I'm going to go get away for like a week." And he went camping by himself, like, to make that decision. And I was like, "Wow, that's an amazing way to actually make a decision and go like have a moment of a, you know, your path versus going and seeking, I don't know, community's good, you know, seek friends, family, wise counsel, but also like doing that first and really having that heart to heart with the Lord. So,
so step away, like Jesus, just step away and have that time with his Father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So hear what they're saying and what we're saying. It's found in him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's found in him. There's no way outside of him. It's all hidden in Christ. Colossians 3, I believe we just talked about it Sunday. That your life is actually hidden in Christ.
Mm.
Beautiful.
And you have to find it within him.
Gotta find
it. And so you can't go all over the place and find it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's in him.
Yeah.
And so the reduction process is how do I just not isolate, but insulate myself with his promise, with people that love me and people that I trust to help me understand things from a different perspective, because when you're young, it's hard.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a time when I was young, I thought my life would go a total different direction.
Yeah.
But I surrounded myself with men of God, women of God, pastors, people that really genuinely believed in me. And there were a lot that I said no to because they were the wrong people. So you cannot treat every voice equal. Your word on equality was beautiful, Brooke. Because not all voices are created equal.
Right.
Not all appointments are created equal. Mm-hmm. Not all opportunities are created equal.
And that's just how it has to be.
It's the way it is. Yeah. You know, and
good for us.
Jesus said, I'm actually only doing what the Father is saying and doing.
Wow.
And so your job as a believer is to hear the voice of Jesus and respond to the voice of Jesus.
Yeah.
And when he gives you a vision, you're circling the wagon, whatever wagon you're circling, whatever business it is, whatever dead-end job you're trying to get out of, whatever, you know, season in parenting, you got two kids under five and your house is a mess all the time or whatever it is, you're like, find the voice of Jesus within it, because in that voice, there's life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and once he gives you your word, don't let it go until he said, and unless he pulls it out, you know, like if you're not hearing from him for a minute, like he gave you a word, just stand on it. Just keep going.
That's the biggest mistake we make, and how we lose our soul when we're building is we forget what he said and we start to move off.
Did he say?
We start to move off our fears. We start to move off our desires. We start to move on opportunities. We start to just, oh, this seems right. But the Bible says there's a way that seems really right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its way ends in death.
Yeah.
Mm. The best way to lose things is to do what seems right. We can't lean on our understanding all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you save your soul.
Jump.
Wow. Dude. There we go.
Amen.
I feel like this
landed
is so
the plane
many
with that one. That was so good.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for opening your heart, your lives. Mm. You guys are always so vulnerable and authentic. Perfect for this podcast.
I love the pace that you walk in.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Thank you for letting us walk with you at your pace.
Thank you, guys. That was really fun. Yeah. Love you guys.
Love you, too.